Today's Daf HaShavua Shir in Yerushalmi is dedicated to the memory of Dora Bas Rivka Silver, Olea Shalom. It begins in the Oz V'Hadar edition in Masechta Brachos on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud, in the middle of the line with the words Rabbi Yochanan Boi. In the Vilna Shas, it is on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Begins the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Boi Diyemrun Shmuitza Min Shmei. The Gemara is referring to the last story that we had in the previous year, where Rabbi Lozer, the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, had seen his Rebbe coming and he ran away and hid from him. And Rabbi Yochanan had a kepeda. He was upset at what Rabbi Lozer had done. And he said that this Babylonian did two things bad against me. One, that he just hid. And secondly, v'chada d'loy amar shmusa mishmi, that he didn't say over my teachings in my name. And in the previous year, we discussed how Rabbi Yaakov Bar Iddi had placated Rabbi Yochanan and explained to him the actions of Rabbi Lozer, that he should not be upset about it. And likewise, he explained to Rabbi Yochanan why he should not be upset that Rav Lozer did not say over the halachas that he learned from Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. But now the Gemara wants to try to understand what was the reason that Rabbi Yochanan had a kepeda. Why was he upset that Rabbi Lozer did not say over the halachas in his name? Asked the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan, Boy, the Yemrun Shmuzim and Shmei, did Rabbi Yochanan need, did he require that teaching should be said over in his name, as the Yafei Mara explains? Did Rabbi Yochanan need the covet, the honor in this world, that people would hear that Rabbi Yochanan said this halacha? In Olam Habo, it doesn't matter whether the halacha was said in your name or not. So what was the reason that Rabbi Yochanan wanted this? And even though we can say that we have a mission in Pirkei Avos that Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omrei Mevi Gula Lo'olam, that if someone says over a teaching in the name of his Rebbe, and he says over the name of his Rebbe, it brings redemption to the world, it brings Mashiach. So maybe that's why Rabbi Yochanan had a kepeda that Rabbi Lozer didn't say it over in his name. But says the Yafei Mara, why did it only bother Rabbi Yochanan? It seems it was only something that bothered Rabbi Yochanan. It didn't bother anyone else. If it was because Mevi Gula Le'olam, then it should have bothered other people as well. So the Gemara wants to know, what was the specific, special reason, personal reason, that Rabbi Yochanan wanted Rabbi Lozer to say over halachas in his name? Answers the Gemara, Af David Bikish Alei Rachamim. We find that David HaMelech also requested this. He asked mercy from Hashem that he should merit that people would say over teachings in his name. Where do we see this? Because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Agura Baholech Olamim, I want to dwell in your tents, in the tents of Torah, forever. The Yafei Mara points out that there is a difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, how to interpret this pasuk from David HaMelech. The Bavli in Yevamos, Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, understands Olamim to mean two worlds. In other words, David HaMelech asked Hashem that simultaneously I should be able to live in the next world after my Ptira, and at the same time I should live in this world. The Yerushalmi understands that Olamim refers to Olam Hazeh, and that David HaMelech was asking, I should live in Olam Hazeh forever. And we will see this at the top of the Amid that we are about to start now, Daf Chaf Amid Aleph. Rav Pinchas, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, asked the obvious question, V'chi olas alev David shu chayli Olam, did David HaMelech entertained the thought that he could live forever in this world? We know that from Adam HaRishon and on, there was Misa Niknesa Olam, there was a punishment to the world that every human being has to die. So David HaMelech knew that he cannot live forever on this world. We see from this Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi understood the word Olamim to mean forever. The Bavli understands Olamim to mean both worlds, Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. But the question in the Bavli is the same. Did David actually think that he could live simultaneously in this world when he is already Nifter and he is in the Olam HaBa? Ella Amar David, rather David said, Eske, may I merit Sheyehu Dvorai Nemorin Al Shmi, that the words of Torah that I say should be said over in my name, Bebatim Knesses, Bebatim Midrashes, in the shuls and in the base Hamedrash. So the Gemara is saying, just like we see that David HaMelech requested this, and in this way, by the Divrei Torah of David being said over after his Ptira in this world, he would live forever in this world. He would be able, according to the Bavli, Olamim, he would be able to live in the world to come, and at the same time, by his Divrei Torah being said over in his name in this world, he would be, as it were, living after death in this world as well. But the Gemara asks a question, Ma Hanyale, as the Charedim says, the top Charedim on the right column, Ma Toy Elas Lamei Sheyomru Shmuel Mipiv Boilam Azeh. You've explained to me that Rabbi Yochanan had the same longing as David HaMelech, that the words of Torah should be said over in his name. But I have a question on David HaMelech. What was David HaMelech gaining that words of Torah were being said over in his name? As the Yifei Mara explains, that what did David need it for? He certainly wasn't doing it for Kavod. So if so, why was he requesting that the words of Torah should be said over in his name after his death? And on this, the Gemara answers, Levi Bar Nazira Omar. He explains that Kol Oimer Shmuel Mishem Omra, anyone who says over a Torah thought in the name of the person who originally said that Torah thought, Sif Soisov, his lips, Reichashos, they move Imoy with him, Bekever, in the grave. By saying over words of Torah in someone's name, in the name of the person who said it, it is as if the person's lips of the Nifter who said the Divrei Torah were moving in the grave. Ma Tam, where do we find a source for this? Doivev Sivse Yushenim, that by saying Torah over, the Torah moves the lips of those who are in the kever. And what is the meaning of this? After all, the lips of the mace in actuality are not moving in the kever. But normally, the Meforshim explain, a person can only be zocha to receive schar in Olam HaBa by doing Maisim Tovim and learning Torah in this world. There's one exception. If Divrei Torah are said over from the person who said them originally, after his death, it is as if his mouth was still moving and he was still being Melame Torah La'ama Yisrael. It is as if he was still teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, every time Hashem hears a Dvar Halacha said over in the name of the one who said it, then it is as if that person is still alive and saying it in this world, and for that he will receive Schar, even though he's actually dead, and even though his lips are not moving. Now the Maral explains, why is it important to say it over in that particular person's name? Why isn't it enough just to say over the Dvar Halacha? Why Mishmoy? Mishem Amra, in the name of the one who said it? The Maral answers that Torah is transmitted from a Rebbe to a Talmud through the unique personality of the Rebbe. His essence, his personality, shapes and forms the Torah that he transmits to his Talmud. And therefore, when the Dvar Halacha is repeated, and not only is it repeated, but it's repeated b'shem Omroi, in the name of the one who said it, that gives a form and a structure to that particular Dvar Torah, and therefore it add schar to the merit of the one who is nifter when those words are said over in his name. Continues the Gemara, how are the Divrei Torah repeated after a person is nifter? Kikomer, this is like a heated mass of grapes which are left several days in a vat, and they become warm, and then when a person touches those warm grapes, the wine oozes out easily. So too, the Torah from a mace, when someone repeats it in their name, although they are no longer actively teaching the Torah, but the Torah is compared to those soft grapes where it oozes out automatically, as it were, from the nifter. That's what the Gemara says over here, that kikomer azeshel anavim, like this warm, heated mass of grapes, shehu zav me'elav, that it flows out automatically from the grapes. Rab Chanan bar Papa, Rab Simon, there is a difference of opinion between Rab Chanan bar Papa and Rab Simon. Chadaber 1 says, kahadein deshasi kunditin, it's like somebody who's drinking a beverage which is made up of wine and peppers and honey. So too, there is the wine of Torah, which are the main halachas of the Torah. There is the pepper, the pilpel or pilpel, the sharp, deep halachic discourse. And then there's the honey, the agarita, the sweet homiletic teachings of Chazal, which draw a person's heart when he learns them. All three of those facets of learning Torah are helpful to the nifter when the teachings that he taught in any one of those three areas are repeated in his name. V'charna, which means v'acher, the other, we don't know who said what, one of these two people, Rab Chanan bar Papa and Rab Simon, one said it's kahadein deshasi kunditin, and the other, v'charna omar kahadein deshasi chamar atik. No, it's not like a mixture of honey and peppers together with the wine, but rather it is the drinking of strong wine itself. The main thing that gives the nifter more schar after his death when the Divrei Torah are repeated in his name is wine, which is the main part of Torah. Af al gav dehu shasi, even though he has already drunk the wine, in other words, even though the nifter has already learned this Torah during his lifetime and he's not able to learn any more after his death, just like when the bottle of wine is completely finished, one cannot drink from that bottle anymore, but yet, tamei bepumei, the person who has drunk the wine and can no longer drink the wine, he still has the taste of the wine in his mouth. So too, the nifter who can no longer learn the Divrei Torah, but he still has the taste in his mouth if the Divrei Torah are repeated in his name. The Gemara now continues to explain another pasuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech had a personal request, just like we had a pasuk at the beginning of the shir of Agura Barlecha Elamim. So too, David had another personal request. Begins the Gemara, Ein dor she'ein boy litzonim. There is no generation that doesn't have mockers. Ma hoya pritzei hador oisin. What did the vulgar people living at the time of David HaMelech do? Hayoholchen, they would go Eitzel Chalonaisav, next his windows, Shel David, Ve'oimrim loy, and they would say to him, in mockery, David, Eimas Ibana Beis HaMikdash, when will the Beis HaMikdash be built? Eimas I Beis HaShem Nelech, when will we go to the Beis HaShem? Ve'hu Oimer, and David would say, Afal Pi Shem Ischav Nilachisein, even though they are trying to provoke me into anger. And why are they trying to provoke me into anger? Says the Pnei Moshe on the second wide line on the top of the Amud in the left-hand column. Shehein yoidim, they know. Shekol zman shani chai, as long as I am living, lo yibana, the base of English will not be built. Sheamar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem told David, even though David wanted to build a base of Mikdash, Hashem told him that you cannot build a base of Mikdash because you are a man of war. Your hands have blood on them. And you are not worthy, therefore, to build a Beis HaMikdash which represents Shalom, which represents peace. But I am telling you that your child, Shlomo HaMelech, he will build a Beis HaMikdash. And when will this happen? V'hoyu kiyimlu yamecha. When you will live out your life of 70 years, following your patira, then Shlomo will build the second Beis HaMikdash. So when these vulgar people came to the windows of David HaMelech, and they said, David, when will the Beis HaMikdash be built? When will we go to the house of Hashem? In other words, they were saying, when will you die so that the Beis HaMikdash can be built, because you're holding up the building of the Beis HaMikdash? So they were trying to attack David in this vulgar way. Says David HaMelech, Yavoy Olai, let evil befall me. If the following is not true, instead of getting angry at them, Sha'ani Sameach Belibi, I am rejoiceful in my heart. If Hashem would in fact tell me that you're going to die prematurely so that we can move ahead with building the Beis HaMikdash, Samachti Bo'ayim Beis Hashem Nelech, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, I rejoice if they would tell me, we're going up to the house of Hashem, and you, David, have to die early. And from here, the Iyun Yaakov learns a very important lesson, that even though David would be sacrificing his own life for the Toelis of the Klal, we see that a person has to come to the level where he gives up on his own needs if that is for the purpose of the Klal. Here David HaMelech is ready to die if that would mean that Klal Yisrael would get the Beis HaMikdash. I once heard from my Mashgiach in Yeshivas Ner Yisrael, Hagoyin Rab David Kronglas Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we daven to Hashem v'simloich Hashem Elokeinu Levadecha, that you Hashem should be the king over the whole world, and we ask Hashem that Malchus Shemayim should come on this world and the whole world should recognize that Hashem is the Melech, Al Kol Ha'aretz B'Yoyim Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad U'Shmoy Echad, we are doing that even though personally it's not good for us. If Mashiach will come and bring about the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, we are frozen at whatever level of Yerushalayim we have attained. Once Mashiach comes, once the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and the Yetzer Hara and the Satan and the Malach HaMavos is destroyed, then there's no Bechira, and then we do not get any reward for fighting our Yetzer Hara. So on a personal level, it's better if Mashiach doesn't come. But yet, we are Mevakesh, that the Malach HaShemayim should spread throughout the world with the coming of Mashiach, even though it's at our own personal expense. And so too, David HaMelech said, Samachti, I rejoice. Even if I would have to die in order for the Beis HaMikdash to come, I would be joyful that that would happen. And now the Gemara explains that pasuk, which David HaMelech was referring to, which the Pnei Moshe brought down, that Hashem told him, V'hoya ki yimlu yamecha, that Beis HaMikdash will be built when your days have been completed. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu David. Hashem said to David, David, Yamim Aleim Ani Moinelach, I am counting out for you full days. You were supposed to live 70 years. Adam HaRishon was supposed to live 1,000, and he only lived 930, because he saw that you would be a Neufel. You would die at childbirth. You'd be a stillborn baby. And Adam HaRishon gave you 70 years of life. Those 70 years are going to be completed completely. Yamim Maleim Ani Moinelach. Ani Moinelach Yom Chaser. I'm not going to give you missing days. Even though it means that I won't be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. Klum Shloima Bincha Boinah Beis HaMikdash. Isn't your son Shlomo building the Beis Hamikdash loy lahakriv by karbanis? Isn't the purpose so that he could bring karbanis? I want you to know, David, chaviv alai mishpat utzdaka sha'ata oisa, the justice and the charity that you do, that's worth more to me, yoiser min hakarbanis. That's worth to me more than Shlomo bringing the karbanis. Umatam, and what is a source for this? The pasuk says, "Asay tzedakah mishpat." Someone who does righteousness and justice, nifchar laHashem mizevach. That is more worthy to Hashem than bringing a korban. And we find in the Gemara in Makkos, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, that the Gemara says a similar concept on a different pasuk. Ki toiv yoyim b'chatzorecha me'alef. It is better a day in your courts than 1,000. What does this mean? Says the Gemara, Toiv li yoim echad, sha'ata oisik b'tayra lefonai. It is worth more one day of your learning, David, that you do in front of me, may elef oilois from 1,000 korbanos oilois sha'ad osid shloima bincha lahakr lefonai al gavim mizbech, that Shloima, your son, will be makriv on the mizbech. So it's the same concept over here, that our Gemara speaks about the tzedakah of Mishpat of David, and the Gemara in Makkos in the Bavli speaks about the Torah that David learned. But either way, David's actions were more pleasing to Hashem even than 1,000 korbanos that his son Shlomo would bring in the Beis HaMikdash. The next piece of Gemara is a duplication of the Bavli in Brachas Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. In order to understand what both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are trying to explain, we have to refer back to the Mishnah earlier in the Masechet on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom, where we have a machlokes between Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda. Rab Meir begins by stating, "Ubeprokim shalom upnei akavid umeshiv," that in between one perik of Kriya Shema and the other, between one parsha and another, for example, between Shema and Vahoyim Shemoya, or between Vahoyim Shemoya and Vayomer, a person is allowed to initiate a greeting to someone that he has to give honor to, umeshiv, and he's allowed to respond. And then Rab Meir discusses what is the din be'emtza, which we will see soon in the Yerushalmi. But let's focus right now on beprakim, if it's between one perek and another. So what the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are trying to understand is, what did Rab Meir mean with the word umeshiv, and he can respond? Does this mean he can respond mipnei hakavod, or does it mean he can respond to anyone? Now we know that to initiate a greeting is a bigger chiddush than to respond. And therefore, if you're allowed to ask mipnei hakavod, you're allowed to initiate a greeting, you're allowed to be mafsik in Kriya Shema in order to initiate a greeting mipnei hakavod, certainly if the other person greets you first, you certainly have a heter to respond. And therefore, what the Bavli and the Yerushalmi both have a question on is, what did Rab Meir mean with umeshiv? Did Rab Meir mean umeshiv mipnei hakavod? Then what would he have to tell us that for? If you can be shoyl mipnei hakavod, then you can certainly be meshiv mipnei hakavod. Therefore, it would be more logical to say that Rab Meir meant that shoyl mipnei hakavod, umeshiv, meshiv, you can even respond to anybody, l'chol adam. However, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi both state that that's incorrect, and they bring a proof from Rabbi Yehuda. Because what's Rabbi Yehuda's shita concerning Bein HaPrakim? This we find further in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, right before the Gemara, the first line of the Amud, Ubeprakim Shoyel Mipnei HaKavod Umeshiv Shalom L'Chol Adam. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So you cannot tell me that that's what Rabbi Meir is saying when he said Umeshiv by the Prakim. He's shoyl mipnei hakavod, and meshiv means meshiv l'chol adam, because that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. What's the machlokes remain Rabbi Yehuda? So it must be that when Rabbi Meir said umeshiv, he meant shoyl mipnei hakavod umeshiv mipnei hakavod. And we'll have to say, as the Bavli tells us distinctly, that shoyl mipnei hakavod ve'ein tzarch loimer if I tell you that he can interrupt Kriya Shema in order to initiate a greeting with Nei HaKavod, then certainly it goes without saying that he can respond to someone who greeted him and that person is a person who he has to give honor to, certainly he can respond. However, a mayor holds that he cannot respond to Chol Adam. On that, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda says to initiate, he can only do it with Bnei HaKavod, but to respond, he can even do it L'Chol Adam. And similarly, we're going to see the second part of the Machlokes Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda concerning Be'emtza. We'll see that in a few lines further in the Yerushalmi. Now, let us see all this in the Yerushalmi. Begins the Yerushalmi. Piska. The next part of the Mishnah is now stated, and that is, Ubeprokim Shom Bnei HaKavod Umeshiv. And the Yerushalmi asks, Mipnei Ma Umeshiv. What did Rav Meir mean when he said that you're Meshiv? And now the Charedim and the Groa tell us that the next three lines of the Yerushalmi are incorrect. The correct girsa we find in the Charedim. Approximately one-third of the Charedim down in the right column. Hachi Garsinin says the Charedim, we'll learn it inside, Biprakim Shav Bnei HaKavod Umeshiv, Mipnei Ma Umeshiv. Mipnei HaKavod Ay L'chol Adam. Not like we have it here in the Gemara, Mipnei HaYiro Ay Mipnei HaKavod. No, that's incorrect. The correct girsa is, what did Rav Meir mean when he can respond Biprakim? Did he mean Mipnei HaKavod? Just like he is Shoyel Mipnei HaKavod, he's Meshav Mipnei HaKavod. Or did Rav Meir mean Oy L'chol Adam? Says the Yerushalmi, according to the Gears of the Charedim, Nishma'ina min Adah. We can deduce it from the following, from what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, at the end of the Mishnah on Dafyut Chesem and Alf, as we saw, Rabbi Yehuda stated, Beprakim Shom Bnei HaKavod Umeshiv Shom L'chol Adam. So, if that's what Rav Meir is saying, then there's no machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. So we can deduce, ha b'kadmisa, in the first meaning, in what Rav Meir's sheet is, shoyel mipnei HaKavod, umeshiv mipnei HaKavod. And if you look in the Yerushalmi, and you go down three lines from where we were, that's how the Yerushalmi concludes, ha b'kadmisa, shoyel mipnei HaKavod, umeshiv mipnei HaKavod. So the beginning and the end of the Yerushalmi are correct, but the three lines in the middle are incorrect, and we have to go with the Girsa of the Charedim. And the Charedim explains, and let us see his explanation. Ube Bavli Yud Gimel Amud Beis Hachi Isa, we find this in the Bavli. Mishum, the Kivin, the Tanur B'Prakim Shom Bnei HaKavod, I Meshiv Bnei HaKavod Nami Kamar Pshita. If the meshiv of a mayor is that he's answering of Bnei HaKavod, what do you have to tell me that for? That's pshita. The shayil kol shekhen demeshiv. If you can interrupt in order to initiate shalom, so certainly you can answer to someone that you have to give kavod to. Therefore, because of this difficulty, I would say that what did Rav Meir mean? Demeshiv shalom l'chol adam kamar. However, you cannot say that. From Rabbi Yehuda, at the end of the Mishnah, we see that that's not pshat in Rav Meir. Why? Diktani Seifu, we learned at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'prakim, he's shoyel mipnei HaKavod, but he's meshiv l'chol adam. V'im kein, heinu Rav Meir. If you're telling me that's what Rav Meir holds, then what's the machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? And there is a machlokes here. Ella, al korchach. We're forced to say, Rav Meir meshiv bnei HaKavod nami kamar. Then when Rav Meir said, umeshiv, he meant bnei HaKavod also. And that's how the Bavli concludes that what Rav Meir meant to say is Biprakim Yishoyel Bnei HaKavod Umeshiv means Ein Tzarich Lomer, certainly that he's Meshiv. We don't even have to say that. If he can initiate Shalom, then he can certainly respond to somebody that he is obligated to give kavod to, but to L'chol Adam, not. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says even L'chol Adam. Let us now go back to the Gemara, and we'll come back to the end of the Charedim in a few moments. Continues the Gemara. Ube'emtza Shalom Ne'ayir Meshiv Div Rav Meir. Now we go to the second part of Rav Meir's statement, which is that in the middle of a parsha, you're allowed to initiate shalom to someone that you're mechuyif to have fear from, not to someone who you have an obligation to give kavod, only to someone that they have fear, may you interrupt in the middle of the parsha. Umeshiv, again, Rav Meir is not clear in what he says. Umeshiv, divri Rav Meir. And now the Yerushalmi asks the same question that we find in the Bavli. Mibnei ma umeshiv, mibnei ayiroi, mibnei akavod. Here it's correct. What we have above in the Yerushalmi, mibnei ayiroi, mibnei akavod, was incorrect. But here those words are correct. Does he answer mibnei ayiroi? Or does he answer from the Akavit? And we have the same difficulty. If it's from the Ayira, it's Pshita. If he can be Shalom from the Ayira, then he can certainly be Meshiv from the Ayira. Elamite means he can be Meshiv even Mipnei HaKovet, a bigger leniency. The answer is no. Nishmina min Ado, I can deduce it from the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Em Tzishom Mipnei HaYira, U Meshiv Mipnei HaKovet. So Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on Rabbi Meir. If you're telling me that that's what Rabbi Meir holds, what's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? So we deduce Ha Kad Misa, in the case of Rabbi Meir, he must mean Shoyel Mipnei Ayira Umeshiv Mipnei Ayira. When he said Umeshiv, he meant he's Meshiv for the same what he Shoyel Zu Vein Tzarch Loimer Zu. That he can be Shoyel, and it goes without saying that he can be Meshiv, but how much can he be Meshiv? To whom can he be Meshiv? Only to someone that he has a chiv to have Yira from, somebody he has a chiv to have Kovet for, he's not allowed to be Meshiv, according to Rabbi Meir. On this, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says no, that Be'emtza, he can Shoyel Mipnei Yira, but he can be Meshiv, even Mipnei HaKovet. If you look back in the Charedim, that's what the Charedim explains the Gemara here. Ki Yoytze Bezeh. Chayzer mefarish abeemtza derab meya mehechrach mi beemtza derab Yehuda. The Gemara understands the pshat in the beemtza of Rab Meir from a deduction of the beemtza of Rab Yehuda. If Rab Yehuda distinctly says that he's beemtza, he's shalom b'nei ayir, he's meishav b'nei akavid, then Rab Meir can't hold that, or else there wouldn't be any machlokes. Rab Meir means he can be meishav mipnei hayira, and it means zu. He can be Shoyel Mipnei Ayira, and certainly he can be Meshiv Mipnei Ayira. Continues the Gemara. Ad Kedon Be'emtza Parsha. So far we've been speaking about when, under what circumstances, a person can be Mafsik in the middle of a Parsha. But now, according to the way Tosfos in Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskil, Ube'emtza learns this piece of Gemara, Vafilu be'emtza pasuk, the Yerushalmi has a question. Can he even interrupt in the middle of a pasuk? And according to the way Tosfos learns, the Yerushalmi answers, yes. How? Rabbi Yirmiyah will learn what's in brackets, meramis. He did not speak in the middle of a pasuk, but he would make a motion with his hand, with his head. Rabbi Yoina mishtoi, Rabbi Yoina would even speak. And then the Yerushalmi concludes, Rav Chuna said a source for this from Rabbi Yosef, because the pasuk says v'dibarta bam, and the pasuk pshat is you should speak only in words of Torah, not in dvorim b'talim, not in empty, wasteful words. But we are learning it according to Rabbi Yosef differently. V'dibarta bam mikan sheyesh l'cha rishus l'daber bam. You asked me a question, are you allowed to be mafsik in the middle of a pasuk? I learned from the pasuk of the Bar Tabam that you can speak in the, when you have to, according to the machlokes remain Rabbi Yehuda, each one according to his shita, mipnei akav, mipnei ayira, l'chol adam. You can do all that, you can be mafsik, bein aprakim, be'emtza. Whenever you are allowed to be mafsik according to halacha, mikan, sheyeshcha, rishus, l'daber bam, in the very psukim that you're saying, in the middle of the pasuk, not just of the parsha, but in the middle of the pasuk, you're allowed to interrupt, not only with a remez, but with speech. So learns Tosfos and Brachos this piece of Gemara. However, the Me'iri there in Brachos and other Meforshim learned this Yerushalmi differently. And let's go over again the last three lines. Ad Kidoin Be'emtza Parsha. We've been speaking about Be'emtza Parsha. And now the Yerushalmi makes a statement that the Heter, whenever you're allowed to be Mafsik, based on the Machlokes of Rami and Rabbi Yehuda that we discussed before, but that Heter is a Filu Be'emtza Pasuk. It's not a question, it's a statement. You're allowed to do it not only in the middle of a Parsha, but even in the middle of a Pasuk. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah Merames means, according to the Meiri in Brachas, that wherever there's a Heter to be Mafsik, for instance, Bein Aprok, or Be'emtza Parsha, or even Be'emtza Pasuk, in any situation where you're allowed to be Mafsik, how was Rabbi Yirmiyah Mafsik? He did not say good morning, hello, how are you, to someone that he had an obligation to give kavod or a year or two. But rather, he would shake his head, he would make a motion as if to say, hello, how are you? Merames, he was only merames. However, Rabbi Yoina Mishtoi, Rabbi Yoina said that the heter is even to speak. And on that, the general heter, not like we learned from Tosfos, that we're going to bring a pasuk to show that you're allowed to be mafsik in the middle of a pasuk. According to the Meiri, we're bringing a raya that whenever you're allowed to be mafsik, whether it's ben aprokim, b'emtza parsha, or b'emtza pasuk, in all cases, how can you do it? Not only with a remez, but even with speech. Because Rabbi Yosef brought the pasuk, v'dibarta bam, mikan, sheyeshcha, rishus, l'dabir bam. There are instances where, m'pnei hakov, m'pnei hayira, oi, l'chol adam, you're allowed to be mafsik, not just with a remez, but by actual speech. So learns the Meiri pshat in this Yerushalmi. We turn to Daf Chaf Amud Beis, and we begin with Halacha Beis, the Mishnah. Ve'elu hein bein haprokim. And this is what we mean in the previous Mishnah when we said you're allowed to be mafsik under certain conditions, bein haprokim, between the chapters, which are those bein haprokim. And now the Mishnah enumerates them. Bein bracha rishayna l'shniya, between the first bracha and the second bracha, which precedes Kriyishma. In the morning, it's between the bracha of Yotzer Hamaoros and the second bracha of Avarabba. In the evening, it's between the first bracha of Hamariv Aravim and the second bracha of Avas Oilam. That's the first separation between the prakim, and then bein shniya l'shma, between the second bracha in the morning and the second bracha in the evening and kriyishma, and then bein shma l'vahoyim shemoya, between the parsha of shma, which includes vahafta, and the next parsha of vahoyim shemoya, then bein vahoyim shemoya l'vayoymer, that's another bein habrokim, and finally bein vayoymer l'emes v'yatziv, between vayoymer and emes v'yatziv, according to the Tanakhama, between the third parsha of Kriyishma vayoymer and what follows emes v'yatziv, or in the evening emes v'emuna, that is also considered bein habrokim, and therefore a person would be allowed to be shoyel mipnei Hakavod. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says bein vayoymer l'emes v'yatziv lo yafsik, that a person is not allowed to be mafsik between vayoymer and emes v'yatziv. The reason for Rabbi Yehuda's halacha we're going to see right away in the Gemara, and we will also see what exactly Rabbi Yehuda means when he says lo yafsik. We'll see that this is a machloikish rishonim. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rab Levi, said Rab Levi, taimed the Rab Yehuda, the reason of Rab Yehuda that you're not allowed to be mafsik is the following. Since it says at the end of the third parsha of Krishma, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Uksiv, and there is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu which states, V'Hashem Elokim Emes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only true being in the world. As the Rambam in Hilchos Yetzirah HaTorah, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, explains that we can only identify something as being MS, truth, if that being is not dependent on any other being. So therefore, since everything in the world is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing else can be considered truthful except Hashem himself, who is not dependent on anyone else. And since we find the pasuk in Yirmiyahu which links together Hashem Elokim with Emes, therefore when we conclude Hashem Elokeichem at the end of the third parsha of Krishma, we add the word Emes, and therefore one is not allowed to be mafsik between them. Now, what does it mean that one cannot be mafsik between them? Here we have a machloikas rishonim. According to the Rambam in Hilchos Krishma, Perik Beis Halacha Yud Zayin, this means that it is considered be'emtza haparsha or be'emtza haposik. It's not considered, according to Rabbi Yehuda, bein haprokim, as we normally would think, that as the Tanakhama holds, that between vayoymer and emes v'yatziv is bein haprokim, and therefore one can be shoyel mipnei akavoid. No, it has halacha of be'emtza parsha, and therefore one would only be allowed to be shoyel mipnei ayira. That is according to the Rambam, When Rabbi Yehuda said, lo yafsik, he means you cannot be mafsik as if it were bein aprokim, but you're allowed to be mafsik as if it was be'emtza haperik. However, according to the Rabbeinu Yoina and the Rosh, which the Charedim brings down, the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda is that you cannot be mafsik altogether. You would have to first say Hashem Elokeichem Emes, or as the Charedim says, Emes V'yatziv, and once you said those two words, then you have fulfilled the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which links together Hashem Elokim with Emes. And according to the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the way Rabbeinu Yoina and the Rosh understand it, this means that you cannot be mafsik whatsoever between the words of Elokeichem and Emes. But once you've said the word Emes, now you can be mafsik, and now it has a halacha of emtza haperik, where you would be allowed to be shoyel mipnei hayira. But before you've said the word emes, you're not allowed, according to these rishonim, to be mafsik at all. Let us see the charedim inside the left-hand column at the beginning of the Gemara, the fourth line of the charedim. Vashem alekim emes lekach ein mafsikim bein ani Hashem alekeichem laemes, says Rashi in Brachas, Bavli. Because of Harosh, Kivin Diyav Time and Mishum Vashem Alekim Emes, since the Gemara gives the reason, then the source is from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which states Hashem Alekim is Emes. Near it, my opinion, the Chomer Mi Emtza Perik. This is harder than the Halach of Emtza Perik, where you can be Mafsik Mipnei Hayira. Deloy Pasuk Klal, Afil Mipnei Hayira. Elo Oimer Emes V'yatziv. You have to say those words Emes V'yatziv, and once you said those words and you fulfilled the pasuk in Yirmiyah, then V'achakach Yafsig, then you can be Mafsig. And what halacha does it have then? Kedin Emtza Perik. It has halacha then of Emtza Perik, where you would be allowed to be Mafsig Mipnei Ayir. But before you've said the word Emes, according to the Charedim and the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yoina, you cannot be Mafsig at all. The Rambam disagrees and says that all Rabbi Yehuda is telling us is that it does have a halach of be'emtza perik when you say Hashem Elokim Emes, but you are allowed to be mafsik bnei ayir according to the Rambam in Rabbi Yehuda. Begins halacha gimel, says the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, lama kad mishma l'vahayim shemaya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha wants to know the reason why we say Kriya Shema, the parsha of Shema Yisrael, v'hafta before v'hoyim Shemaya. And if you will tell me that the reason is because in the Chumash we find that the parsha of Shema precedes v'hoyim Shemaya, number one, we have a rule, ein mugdum u'mukhar b'Torah, that there is no chronological order to the Torah. Even if it's written first, it could be that the second one is considered coming before the first one. And secondly, Vayomer, which we say last in the Seder of the Parshas of Kriya Shema, in the Torah, in fact, it comes before Shema and Vayom Shemaya. Shema and Vayom Shemaya are in Dvarim, and the Vayomer we find in Sefer Bamidbar. So if you're going with the chronological order, the way it's written first or last in the Torah, Vayomer should come first. So this is the question of Rabbi Yehuda ben Karcha. Why does Shema, in fact, become first? The answer is, Elo sheyikabel olav malchus shemaim tchilav achakach yikabel olav ol mitzvahs. Because first the person should be mekabel upon himself the yoke of malchus shemaim, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he goes into the parsha of Vahoyim Shemaya, which we say, Vahoyim Shemaya Tishmu El Mitzvoisei, then we're mekabel the specific yoke of mitzvot which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. Why, as Rabbi Shuvim ben Karcha, Vahoyim Shemaya L'Vayomer, does Vahoyim Shemaya come before Vayomer? Shevahoyim Shemaya Naeg Bein B'Yom V'Vein B'Layla. Vahoyim Shemaya, as the Charedim tells us, is speaking about Talmud Torah. As the Pasuk says there in Vahoyim Shemaya, V'Limadetem Oysom Espenechem. You should teach Torah to your children. And Torah is Naeg both in the day and at night. However, Vayomer in the Naeg El B'Yom. Vayomer is only Naeg in the day. daytime, as the Charedim says, the Mishtoi bet Tzitzis. Vayoymer has Parsha of Tzitzis. Shein and Noyagas Elabiyoym. It's only Noyag in the daytime. The Chsiv, the Pasuk says in the Parsha of Tzitzis, Reisem Oisoi, that you have to see the Tzitzis. Prat Luchsus Lila, a beged that is miyuchid for wearing in the evening, is potter from Tzitzis, because the nighttime is not a time when a person sees Tzitzis. So since the Parsha of Tzitzis is not Noyag Balila, therefore, Vayomer is preceded with Vahoyam Shemaya, which is Noyag Bein B'yom Uvein Balila. The obvious question is that the Parsha of Vayomer not only includes Tzitzis, but it also includes Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we learned earlier in the Masechta, that Kol Yemei Chayecha tells you that you have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim all your days, which means the whole day, and not only by Yoyim, you have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim Balayla as well. So the Tzlach and Brachas on Daf Yud Gimel tells us the answer is that the whole Parsha of Vayomer is not Noyeg only in the daytime. Ein Echanami at night, that part of the Parsha of Vayomer of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Noyeg, but the whole Parsha, including the Parsha of Tzitzis, is not Noyeg Balayla, that part of the Parsha is only Noyag Bayoyim, whereas the Parsha of Vayom Shemaya, the entire Parsha, is Noyag Bein Bayoyim Vein Balayla, and therefore it precedes the Parsha of Vayomer. Begins the Gemara, Rab Chiya, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rab Chiya said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Matam Omru, Adam Loivish Tfilin, V'Kairia Shema Umispalel, why did they say that a person should first put on Tfilin and then read Kriya Shema and Davin? In other words, he should be Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim and say Shemoyne Esrei when he is already wearing tefillin. Kidei sheyekabel of Ol Malchus Shemayim Tchilim Mishalim, in order that he should accept upon himself the yoke of the Malchus Shemayim first in a complete manner. There are numerous pshatim here in the Rishonim in why this approach makes it Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim Mishalim. The Charedim has the girsa, which we'll soon see not everyone has, of the word Tchila, as we have it in the Yerushalmi, that he should first, in a complete manner, be Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim. And the Charedim explains, based on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Maisa Iker, Vihigdim Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma, that we know that Asiyah comes before learning. And the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Oisei Dvaroi, that Klal Yisrael does the word of Hashem, Lishmaya B'Kol Dvaroi, to listen to the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So from these psukim we see that there's an inyan of Nase Kaidim L'Nishma. First we do, and then we hear. So too, before we're Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, we do the practical mitzvah of putting on tefillin. And in that way, it is Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim Mishalim, by tchila, by first doing the mitzvah before the Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. The Rabbeinu Yoina on the Rif in Brachas, concerning the Gemara in the Bavli Daf Tezvav Amid Aleph, where the Bavli says the same as our Yerushalmi, V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan Roitze Sheyikabel Olav Ol Malchus Shemayim Shleima Yifaneh, he should attend to his bodily needs, V'Yitel Yadav, he should wash his hands, V'Yaniach Tefillin, he should put on Tefillin, V'Yikra Kriya Shema, he should read Kriya Shema V'Yispal, and he should daven, says the Rabbeinu Yoina. Tam Adover, the reason is, Mipnei Shebet Tefillin Sheberoish Adam Mishabed Leboiri Yizbar Chaneshama She He B'moyach. A person, when he puts on his tefillin, so the tefillin shel roish subjugates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the neshama that is in his moach, in his brain. U'betfillin shel b'zrayin, with the tefillin shel yad, adam mishabed gufoy, he subjugates his physical being. U'mibnei kach tzivu HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chazal were mitzava lahasim oisam keneged halev, to place the tefillin shel yad towards, leaning towards the heart. Why? Shehalev, he ikur hataivis v'amachshavis. because the heart is the source of all desire and thought. Ubazeh yiskres habayre. A person, through having the tefillin shel yad towards his heart, will subjugate his physical being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who remember Hashem, v'yamit hanoisav, and he'll lessen his pleasures, his worldly pleasures, and ukeshe kairei kriyishma umispalel be'inyin shemishabed loy nishmasi v'gufoy zuhi malchus shemayim shleima. When a person reads kriyishma and he davens in a manner where he's mishabed his neshama and his guf to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his putting on the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel reish, this is Malchus Shemayim Shleima. So learns the Rabbeinu Yoina in the Bavli Brachas. However, there are those who are not garis the word tchila here. For example, in the Shinui Neschois, it says there's a girsa without the word tchila. And so it would seem from the Pnei Moshe, because the Pnei Moshe learns the pshat is the Oz who Kabbalah Shemaim Shleima Shekayre Kriyishma Utfilin Olav Sheksuva Kriyishma Bahem. Because when a person says Kriyishma without wearing tefillin, he's like a Noah Doirish Rein Nara Mekayim. He preaches very nicely, but he's not doing it in action. It is only when he puts on the tefillin, in which in those tefillin are written the parshiyus of Kriyishma. So while he's saying the Kabbalah Sol Baruch Shemayim, he's actually doing a maisa mitzvah to bring this Kabbalah Sol Baruch Shemayim into the world of asiya, into the world of action. He's not like testifying falsely, as the Gemara there in Brachas Bavli Yud Daled Amud Beis says that Omer Ula Kala Kairei Kriyishma Beloitful and Kiilu made Eidu Sheker Batzmoy. He is like testifying falsely. He's saying that I subjugate myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a Kabbal Omach Shemaim, and yet I'm doing it without the very tefillin in which these parashas of Kriyishma are written. So therefore, how does a person do it Shlema? Not Chila, not the fact that he does the mitzvah before saying Kriyishma, but the fact is that while he's saying Kriyishma, at the same time that he's wearing tefillin, then there's no contradiction between his Kabbalah of Oil Malchus Shemayim and his actual performance of the mitzvah. So learns the Pnei Moshe. Continues the Gemara. Rav Omar, Rav disagrees, and Rav says, Kairei Eshma, he reads Shema, V'loivish es tefillof, and then he puts on the tefillin u'mispalel. Says the Gemara, Masnita, we have a brisa where, according to the Girsa in the Shinui Neschois, Masnita pligi alevei de Rav. The brisa disagrees with Rav, because the brisa says, Haresho yosakim ameis, if somebody was busy burying a dead person, bekever, in the grave, vigia oinas krishma, in the time of krishma came, hareza parishul makam tahara, he goes off Dalit Amis away from the mace in a place of Tahara, as the Charedim tells us, Rochik Arba Amis Menem Kever, because we have the rule of Loig LaRush that if he does any mitzvah in front of a mace, it's like making a mockery of those who are Potter Menem Mitzvahs, those who have perished. So after he's gone to the side, he's loivesh tefillin. He puts on his tefillin. The kairei shema mispalin. Then he reads kriyat shema and he's mispalin. So from the braisa we see, not like Rav, from the braisa we see the way we learned before from Rav Chi in the name of Rav Yochanan, that first come the tefillin and then one says kriyat shema. Says the Gemara, masnita, but from our Mishnah Messiah el Rav, we have a proof to Rav. Because our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, said, why do we read Kriya Shema before Vayim Shemaya? Elish Adam Yikabel Olav Malchus Shemayim Tchila. He should first be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. V'achakach Yikabel Olav Ol Mitzvahs. So we see that Kriya Shema becomes before the performance of Mitzvahs. So our Mishnah backs Rav. And that's where the Yerushalmi ends concerning this inyan. In other words, there is a braisa against Rav. The Braisa says you put on your tefillin first before Kriyat Shema. However, from our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha would substantiate Rav that first one says Kriyat Shema and then puts on his tefillin. However, the Charedim tells us that in the Bavli, it doesn't end there. Says the Charedim, Divya Maskel, Masnis and Messiah Rav, Achinami Bavli. On Daf Yudal Ramad Beis, it says Ki porch l'rav mebraisa. When we ask the question of Rav from the Braisa, which says that you put on tefillin first, metare, it's the Gemara, their answers, Rav, k'ri b'shu men karchas v'relei. He holds like a b'shu men karcha, that Kabbalah so amach shemayim becomes before oil mitzvahs. However, in the Bavli v'dachi, the Bavli pushes away this raya from our Mishnah. Why? Because Amr, the shamad later, Rabbi Shu ben Karcha, lahagdim kriya l'kriya. When did Rabbi Shu ben Karcha say that oil malchu shemayim is before oil mitzvahs? That's when you're reading it. Which parsha is read first? However, lahagdim kriya l'asiya mishamadle. Where do you see a raya from our Mishnah, from Rabbi Shu ben Karcha to Rav, that one actually performs the mitzvah before Kabbalah oil malchu shemayim? You only have a proof that one says Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim before Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, but you don't have a proof that one actually does a mitzvah after Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim. And therefore, since we have a raya from the Braisa against Rav, the halach is not like Rav. The halach is that one would put on tefillin first and then read Kriya Shema. As to why Rav actually said Kriya Shema and then put on tefillin. So the Gemara in the Bavli concludes that it wasn't that Rav disagrees with this. Rav agrees that first comes the mitzvah and then Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim. It was just a case where the shliach who was bringing Rav his tefillin, he tarried, he was late in coming, and this man Kriya Shema came. Rav had no alternative but to read Kriya Shema at the right time, even though he wasn't wearing his tefillin. But normally, Rav would agree that one would put first on his tefillin and then say Kriya Shema.